Hello and welcome to our program today as we study from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. We're going through the book of Hebrews and we're in chapter 3 today. And we've entitled our study, Beware of an Evil Heart of Unbelief. Beware, watch out, take heed of an evil heart of unbelief. And so we need to beware of that. That's Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 12. And thank you for tuning in. And the book of Hebrews was written to keep people following Christ and not Moses. So many people want to go back to Moses. They want to go back to the Old Testament. And the book of Hebrews was written to stop that. And people today still want to go back to Moses. They want to go back to keeping the Sabbath day. They want to go back to the practice of tithing, or they want to keep the Passover feast. They want to go back and do something from the Old Testament. They want to bring instrumental music into worship today from the Old Testament. And of course, some people want to have polygamy. They want to keep going back to the Old Testament. And the book of Hebrews was written to let people know that we have a better testament. We have a better high priest in Jesus Christ. We even have a better covenant than the covenant of Moses. And so that's why the book of Hebrews was written. Now, verse 12 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That was the problem of the children of Israel. They had an evil heart of unbelief as they followed Moses out of Egypt and to the promised land. You may remember that in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, they came up to the border, the southern border of the promised land. God wanted them to go into the promised land on that occasion, Numbers chapter 13 and 14. But you remember they rebelled. They sent in 12 spies, one man from every tribe. And 10 of those spies said, it's a good land, it's a wonderful place, but the inhabitants there are too great and too mighty for us to defeat. And the people started crying and wailing all night. And Joshua and Caleb tried to calm the people down and told them that we can go into the land. But they wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. And so that's the unbelief that kept them out of the promised land. And so none of that generation, anyone over the age of 20, did not enter the promised land 38 years later. They stayed in the wilderness for a total of 40 years. And so they had to stay in the wilderness and die in the wilderness and not make it to the promised land. Now, the reason why we want to study this is because we have a promised land, a land of rest. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. And when people die, they rest from their labors. They go to the land of rest, the heavenly promised land. And so we need to guard against the same problem that the children of Israel went through, and that is not believing in God. Let's start with verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, members of the church of Christ, are partakers of the holy calling. And we need to remember what kind of calling it is. It is a holy calling. And it says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. And that's who we're following. We're not following Moses. We're following Jesus Christ. He's a high priest and he's an apostle. He's a man that came with a message from heaven. And it says in verse 2, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Christ was faithful, Moses was faithful, but Moses was in a house. Christ is over the house. He's superior to Moses. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. He's over the house. He's not in the house. He built the house. He has more glory than Moses. Don't follow Moses. Follow Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. And of course, Jesus built the house of God. It's called the house of God or the household of God in 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15 says it's the house of God. It's the church of the living God. And Jesus built that church. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. We're following someone greater than Moses. And that's what this book is pointing out. Verse number 4. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. We need to follow God's Son. God built all things. Moses didn't. Follow God. Not Moses. Verse 5, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Moses had a role to fill. He was a type of Christ. He came down into Egypt and he performed many wonders and mighty signs. They were called the 10 plagues. And he's like Jesus. Jesus came upon the scene and he performed many miracles. And what Moses was trying to do was lead people out of Egypt. Jesus is not trying to lead people out of Egypt. He's trying to lead people out of sin and lead them to heaven. And so he is a greater individual. Verse 6, Christ as a son. Moses was not the only begotten Son of God, but Jesus is. But Christ as a son over his own house. Jesus built the house. Jesus owns the house. Jesus purchased the house, which is the church, with his own blood. He's not in the house. He's over the house. Then notice verse 6. Whose house are we? But there's a condition that's there. If we're the house of Christ now, but if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing with hope firm unto the end. You can't let go of it. You can't let go of Christ and leave his house and go back to Moses. That's what he was telling the initial readers of this book, and of course that applies to anyone today. You do not need to leave Christ and go back to the Old Testament. You need to be under the house Jesus built, and that's the church of Christ. Romans 16 and 16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. And so if we hold fast to the end, we're going to enter the rest that God has prepared for his people. Verse number 7 of Hebrews 3. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, who? The Holy Ghost is saying this. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. That's specifically what he's talking about. Under the hand of Moses, the children of Israel hardened their hearts. And you know there's a consequence to that. And we're going to see the consequence in this chapter. They did not enter into the rest. And so if we will hear his voice, now you're in control of your heart. You can hear the word of God or not hear the word of God. You can do the word of God or not do what the word of God says. You're in control of your heart. Nobody, don't blame other people. That's what Adam wanted to do. He wanted to blame Eve. Wanted to blame God for giving him the woman. Blame Eve for eating the fruit. That's what people always want to do. It's not my fault. The devil made me do it. My neighbor made me do it. My environment made me do it. I killed some people, yes, but I grew up in a bad neighborhood. That's their fault, not mine. It's not my fault I killed people. I had a bad environment. That's the way people are. Listen, you are in control of your heart. Don't blame anybody else for your sin. You're responsible for your actions. You're responsible for your heart. If your heart becomes hard, it's because you have hardened it. Take your own responsibility. Accept responsibility for yourself. Hebrews 3 and verse number 8 says, harden not your hearts. Don't do that like your fathers did in the in the wilderness, verse number 9, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Isn't it amazing that they hardened their heart against God, who performed so many mighty wonders in their eyes and in their presence? They saw the Red Sea part, and they were able to cross the Red Sea on dry ground. They were led by a pillar of fire, and by night they were led, or by day they were led by a pillar of a cloud. They saw that day in, day out, pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. They saw my works 40 years. They saw God provide all of these wonderful things for them, and yet they still hardened their hearts. Now, you have a heart just like the Israelites do. You can harden yours just like they hardened theirs. Hearts are that way. That's why this book is being written, to keep people from getting a hard heart. And they tempted God, and they proved God, and they tested him, even though they saw his work for 40 years. Isn't that amazing? When Jesus came to this earth, he performed many, 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 many miracles, healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding the multitudes. And what did the Pharisees and Sadducees do? They killed him. Their hearts were hardened. They were not going to accept his work. That's what happened in the days of Moses. They saw the power of God and they rejected God. When Jesus came on the scene, they saw the power of Jesus, but they rejected Jesus. Now, God reacts to that. Hebrews 3 and verse number 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. Well, if he was grieved with that generation for not believing him and hardening their hearts, what will he do now? Well, he'll do the same. I was grieved with that generation. God responds to man's behavior. And said, they do always err in their hearts. Where was the problem? Their heart. What happened? They hardened their heart. What was going on in their heart? They were erring in their hearts. And they have not known my ways. The children of Israel did not enter the promised land because their hearts were hardened. They did not believe God. And they were always in the wrong. And they did not know God's ways. Isn't that a shame that people are that way? You're in control of your heart. Please believe in God. Please obey God. Be humble and submissive and obey God's will. That's what this book is trying to get us to do. Verse number 11, so I swear in my wrath. I swear in my wrath. God gets angry. And when he gets angry, he verbalizes punishment. I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. I've got a rest for them, but they're not going to enter in. Why, Lord? Well, they've hardened their heart. They're always erring in their heart. They have seen my works for 40 years, and yet they did not believe me. They did not know my ways. Isn't that something? And so, with that in mind, notice verse 12. Take heed, brethren. That's what happened 1,500 years before the coming of Christ. That's what happened to your fathers. They did not make it into the land of rest. Now, generations later, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That's the warning. That's what can happen. You know what can happen? You can have an evil heart of unbelief. What will that do? Well, that will present a situation where you've departed from the living God. And then what? You will not enter into his rest. What happened in the days of Moses could happen 1,500 years after in the days of Christ. It can still happen 2,000 years later. Today, in our lifetime, hearts can become hardened because we allow them to, because we don't believe in God. And so, what should we do in the Lord's church to help prevent this? Well, verse 13. but exhort one another daily. That's what this book was doing. This book was exhorting them, and every time they read it, it would exhort them. But, you know, preachers get up, they need to exhort the church. Elders need to get up and exhort their brethren, the church, but exhort one another daily. While it is called today, while there's time, while there is opportunity, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know what sin is? It's deceitful. It makes you think you're going to get something good, but you're not. You're going to get something not good. You're going to get punishment. It's a deceitful thing. It's kind of like the carnival. When I was a kid, they used to have carnivals, and oh, there'd be bright lights and Ferris wheels and merry-go-rounds, and it looked good from a distance. Oh, it looks like the lights were gleaming. When you get up there close, you can see the grease, and you can see the peeling paint, and the carnival didn't look so good up close. But that's the way sin is. Sin's that way. And so we need to be encouraging one another. Are you an encouraging person, or are you a complainer and a griper? And negative. Negativism is going to kill your soul. Negativism is going to kill your family. You need to be positive and you need to be happy. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let's be a rejoicing people. Let's be a happy people. Verse 14, you need to exhort one another, for we are made partakers of Christ. That's who we are. We need to encourage one another. We are partakers of Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only begotten Son of God. We're partakers of Him. We're going to inherit what He inherits in heaven. What belongs to Him is going to belong to us. But verse 14 has the condition. There's a condition. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Now, we've got to hold on to the end. There's a song in our songbook that says, hold to God's unchanging hand. You can't let go of the hand of God. You cannot let go of the Bible. You need to be steadfast unto the end. Verse 15 of Hebrews 3. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, are you hearing His voice today? Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. We're saying it today. The Hebrew writer said it back then. We're still saying it today. Today, if you will hear His voice, today, in this current year, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart. That's going to keep you out of heaven. If you harden your heart, what's going to happen to you is what happened to them. As in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. They heard the word of God, and yet they rebelled against the word of God. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. No, there was Joshua and Caleb. Not everybody provoked God to anger. In that passage of Numbers 13 and 14, 10 spies gave a bad report. Joshua and Caleb were the two spies that gave a good report. Not everybody. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned? What happened to them? Well, when they sinned, their carcasses fell in the wilderness. They sinned by having a hardened heart, by not listening to God, by not obeying God. God wanted them to go up into the land of promise, into the inheritance, but they wouldn't go up. And because of that, they weren't going to inherit anything. They were going to die in the barren wilderness. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? It's interesting that those who do not obey God are the ones that God says, you didn't believe me. You know, if we believe the Lord, we believe in heaven, we believe in hell, we believe there's a judgment day, we'll act like it. Some people say, yeah, I believe in hell, but they don't act like it. They go on and live a reckless and sinful life. And so they didn't believe. They had an evil heart of unbelief. They had a stubborn and rebellious heart, and they did not obey God. Verse 19 says, so we see, we do, don't we? We see by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We see that they could not enter in. They couldn't enter into the promised land because of unbelief. Now let's read the first verse of Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore fear. Yes, the Bible teaches us to fear God. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. We are to fear God. Serve him with fear. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. You know, it happened during the days of Moses. They came short of entering into the rest of God. They didn't get into the promised land. Now, that same thing can happen to Christians under the New Testament. We can come up short of it. Now, we need to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2 and verse 1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Those who were, the book of Hebrews was written to, they were letting God's word slip. They were leaving Christ and leaving the New Testament to go back and follow Moses and follow the Old Testament. Now, you are in control of your heart. You can fill your heart with pride, or you can take pride out of your heart and be humble. You can have an unbelieving heart, or you can have a believing heart. If you're a Christian and you have an unbelieving heart, you're going to depart from the living God. That angers God. Evil hearts who will not listen to God and will not obey God, it angers God, and he closes the doors of heaven to them. There's a danger here, and it's mentioned in all the books of the Bible, the dangers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, to him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. There is the danger of falling. There is the danger of drifting away. Look at the denominational world. Look how far they keep drifting, farther and farther and farther away from the teachings of the Bible. That's what happens. And some of our brethren are right behind them. They're following the denominations instead of following Jesus Christ. God's going to react to an evil heart. He's going to be grieved. He's going to close the doors to heaven. Starting to heaven was not starting to the promised land. The children of Israel left Egypt and they started for the promised land, but they didn't enter into it. Starting is not enough. We've got to keep going. We've got to keep living the Christian life every single day. And so you need to encourage one another. Look at verse 13. Exhort one another daily while it is called a day, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We need to encourage one another. Verse 14, we need to hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Let me encourage you to do that. Let me encourage you today to keep on keeping on. Let me encourage you today to be steadfast. Look at verse 15. While it is said, if we will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. I want to encourage you to hear his voice today. Be encouraged today. Be steadfast and unmovable today. Hear his voice today. Keep your heart open to God's word. Keep doing what he says. And when you have completed that totally and completely, you're going to be able to enter into the blessed promised rest of heaven. Revelation 14, 13 says, blessed are they that die in the Lord. Yea, henceforth, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. And so that's our goal, dear listener, to get to heaven. Hebrews chapter 3 is a beautiful chapter to keep us on track. Thank you for listening today. My name is Richard Massey. I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ, located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. Thank you for listening today. We have a website. Look us up, windmillcoc.org, and come and see us when you can. And we hope to see you next time.